Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now back to the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Do you have a truck? Do you back it in or do you not? That is the question. 713-780-3776. Out to the HRP listener line. Troy from Crosby. I know what he's going to say. Troy, do you back in a truck or not?
Yes, you are. If you can't back a truck in between two cars, you don't own a truck, you shouldn't own a truck, and you need your man car taken away from you. Back your truck in, it's easier to get out, and I'm sorry, this is not even a debate. Back it in, be a man, and back it in.
Troy, when you Troy, when you back in your truck and then you leave, what do you have to do?
I pull straight out.
I mean, but either way, you're backing out at some point, right?
No one's debating that, Brian.
Back it in, be a man, and then pull straight out, Brian. That's the moral of the story from my man, Troy.
Phrasing, Joel.
It doesn't matter, regardless if you're pulling in, or if you're backing in, and you're backing out, or you're vice versa, you're pulling in, you've still got to look for cars coming left and right.
Right, so why does it matter the order?
How you do it. You back it in.
You
can't back a truck in between two cars. And if it takes you more than two times to get straightened up to come straight in between the cars, you shouldn't be backing in.
Phrasing.
It's not even a debate.
You know, Brian's trying to change the topic because he knows he's getting killed.
You got
to
back out either
way.
No one's debating that.
Point. Why would you have to back in if you're going to have to back out either way?
There's a lot of reasons why. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Lance from Baytown. You got a guy from Crosby and a guy from Baytown. I know how this is going to go,
Baytown
too.
Yeah, this is going Jeremy's way.
Yeah, it is. I got the wrong part of the city calling in.
Lance, you pull in or do you back in?
You back in every time because we live in Texas, specifically Houston. Most people are driving with big trucks, and the turning radius reversing is a lot easier than if you're pulling into a parking spot immediate to your, like directly to your right. You're going to clip the car. So you swing wide to the left and back it in.
There you go. Appreciate it, Lance. The Baytown, our very own Baytown baddie. So we got a Crosby
suggest
boy.
Suggest those people can't drive.
A Baytown boy. And say that you back it in. 7196, you're a bad word if you don't back it in. I'll let you use your imagination as to which bad word that he's saying. But he said it about Brian. He didn't say it about
False manhood at stake here. Oh, you got to back it in. That's what manhood. We do
I don't think
in
it's
Texas.
False manhood when Troy says you got to straighten it out if it takes you more than two times.
5352.
You got a problem.
Way easier to back in as a UPS driver. We're trained to always back in when parking. So this is a professional driver.
Well, UPS is a much bigger vehicle, though.
Backing in gives you a faster escape. There's no doubt about that. It is a faster escape. Now, it might be marginal. It might be very, very little, but it is a faster escape.
I will concede that point. It is faster to get out if you do it the way Jeremy does, but I would argue what you just said. It's marginal and not really worth the difference
to
me.
I care about my family. I want to see them
that
sooner
extra 3 seconds
than you do.
Very meaningful.
The 3 seconds matters to me. 3 seconds added up. 365 days a year. It just shows I love my family more than you do, Brian.
Well, you're the math major. How much time is that?
I need a calculator. Blankers, look, can I borrow your abacus?
Corey. And I got to catch a stray off of that.
He totally did give him a stray for no reason. Direct your anger over here.
So much easier to back truck in than out. Only exception is a diagonal parking spot. Yeah, those can be a little bit tricky. I only back in whenever I have a trailer. No need for me to answer this. Troy nailed it. What happens when someone is behind you? That one is a little bit tricky. Now, here, because there's multiple ways to get to a single parking spot, like if I notice there's somebody behind me, I'll just kind of like go around and then let them pass and then just kind of get on their tail and then back in. If you back in with a hitch, you're a POS. Just don't let the hitch hit the vehicle behind you. Mm. Like, I mean, it's easy to do if you have a hitch. Just don't let it hit.
Don't you have a camera on the back of your truck?
A lot of people are saying that. I usually don't use my camera to back in, though.
No?
No, not really. I'll use my camera to like to get really close to the car, but in order to get in the line, I don't use the camera.
No, you use your side mirrors.
Sure, but I'm saying to know how far back you can go.
Brian's trying to act like
I mean, occasionally I do have to back in, and again, you still have to back out, so I do have to use that camera.
Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Robbie from Baytown, you're in the Hive. What do you think?
Wrong part of the city.
Yes, sir, how you doing today?
Hey, Robbie, what's going on?
You got Baytown, you got Crosby, now you got Dayton on the line.
I think you're the birth child of them both, though. Like, you sound like Troy.
It does sound like Troy.
Robbie said he's from Dayton.
You say he's from Dayton?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hey,
I guess Kevin misheard.
A lot of the construction companies that I work for, it's a requirement that you have to back your truck into parking spots, whether you're in the plant, on company property, or anything. It's a requirement.
Do you know why?
And when you get out.
People can't drive.
Do what now?
Do you know why? Do they tell you why it's a requirement?
Yeah, because you have better visibility when you pull out forward than when you back out, and you're less likely to hit somebody.
Okay.
There you go. Thank you for the information. Robbie. Thank you for the insight. That's very well explained. Again, backing in is the play. Josh from Seabrook, it would depend on where I'm parking, but if I'm next to the building, I'm definitely backing into the spot because I'm always loading and offloading. That's the other thing. If you're loading something from your truck or out of your truck, it's easier closer to the door.
Brian's
closer
really
to the door. If you are closer to the building,
no. I'm building a fence right now, so I've had to back into my driveway quite a few times recently for the exact reason to be able to have the quicker route to unload the lumber. But I mean, in a regular parking lot situation like here at work, there's no reason for it.
Brian's really a victim of the signal right now.
I know. I'm catching it from
if he's getting calls from the Heights and downtown Houston in the Galleria area, he might have won this one.
I'm going to just continue to pour salt in the wound here. I'm going to put this on Twitter at Jeremy Brandon.
Go ahead.
If you have a truck, do you back in, A?
I'm comfortable with my take.
Or B, pull in? You're the only one. You're very much a minority.
I could be on the right side of history, but still be in the minority.
All right. 713-780-ESPN. D'Amico Ryans the other day, he said that Jordan Love is the best quarterback the Texans will have played to date. We had somebody that texted in mansplaining to us that coaches, they have coach speak during the week and they talk up their opponent. Thank you for that. We appreciated the coach speak aspect of what D'Amico
Matt
Ryan
LaFleur's
doing is doing.
The exact same thing.
With all respect to D'Amico Ryans, and could it be coach speak? Absolutely. It probably is coach speak. But for the sake of the conversation, I disagree with D'Amico Ryans. Here are the best quarterbacks the Houston Texans have played to date. I don't love this guy. I think he's a turnover machine. I wouldn't trust him with my organization in the playoffs. But at the top of the list is Josh Allen. Now, I don't disagree with D'Amico Ryans too much. I have Jordan Love as the second best quarterback the Texans will have played to date. I have Sam Darnold 3, Caleb Williams 4, Anthony Richardson 5, Trevor Lawrence 6, and then Drake May 7. Now, the last three, kind of interchangeable in my opinion. But again, Allen, Love, Darnold, Williams, Richardson, Lawrence, May. Disagree at all? What are your seven?
Joel's going to have Jordan Love at the bottom, obviously.
No, he's not at the bottom because there's a lot, because there's Drake May involved and Trevor Lawrence is hot garbage. But I had Allen number one. I had Darnold number two. I had Jordan Love number three. I had Richardson four. Caleb four, Richardson, Lawrence, and May.
Okay. So we had the same last three.
Yeah.
You had Williams ahead of Richardson.
I did. I had Williams.
Say it one more time. Just one through seven real quick.
Okay. I have Allen. Then I have Darnold. Then I have Love. Then I have Caleb. Then I have Richardson. Then I have Lawrence. And then I have May.
Okay. So the only thing we had difference was Love and Darnold. You had Darnold ahead of Love.
We flip-flopped.
Very interesting.
For this year, yeah.
There's going to be a texture that gets
you're
on
gonna
you.
You're going to see this, too. You're going to see this weekend.
Brian?
Jeremy and I have the same top three. Josh Allen, Jordan Love, Caleb Williams. You have Sam Darnold 3. So we flip-flop 3 and 4. I have Caleb Williams 3, Sam Darnold 4. Where we get different in our list is towards the bottom because I have 5, 6, 7 is Trevor Lawrence, Drake May, and then Anthony Richardson dead last.
He doesn't back in his truck and he has Anthony Richardson last?
Says a lot,
Anthony
Brian.
Drake May moved the ball more.
Okay. All right.
He and his big shot down the field.
What is your top quarterbacks the Texans have played to date? 713-780-ESPN. If Jerry Jones gave 105.3 the fan an ultimatum, the Cowboys or the host, who do you think Odyssey would pick in that dilemma? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
1290, best segment y'all had all week. 2585, can we back into some more sports talk, please?
I'd rather pull in some more
both
sports
ends
talk.
Of spectrum.
You know it's a good conversation when you have those two texts. 3227, Pasadena Patty here.
I lived in Pasadena for a while. Respect that.
Pasadena Batty. 6630, thank you, Lance. That is 100% the reason. Turn radius. If you drive a standard crew cab truck, it's about turn radius, not like B-Max baby truck. We didn't have a Lance call, did we?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, there was a Lance?
Yeah, there was a Lance call.
Right after Troy.
My bad. I thought he was calling
one of us
Lance.
By the way, our trucks are the same size, so.
I thought he was calling one of us Lance.
You guys measure?
No, but I can eyeball it.
You don't know if you drive the same truck as the texter?
No, I'm saying you.
Yeah, he didn't. The texter didn't say me, though. The texter said you drive a baby
truck. Well, I know, but he's saying turn radius is the reason, and we drive basically the same size truck, and we're on opposite ends, so it's. Yeah, I don't think it's really.
I drive my truck with a little bit of respect. I got cut off today, by the way.
Bird?
No, I would have been the one delivering the bird.
Oh.
The big truck with a big trailer cut me off. I actually respected the move when I passed him. I tipped my cap.
No, you didn't.
I promise you.
Well, why'd you respect the move?
No horn, no nothing?
No. I respected the move. Not that I deserved the cutoff, but he was trying to get over immediately because the exit was rapidly approaching, and there was a lot of vehicles behind me. So his move was either cut me off or miss the exit. I can respect the move. I respect. So if you're out there, which he's probably listening to me, not Brian, a big truck driver with a big trailer that he's pulling, I respected the move. That cutoff was okay with me. If you thought I was mad, I was not. I understand where you're coming from.
I think Joel would have handled that differently.
I definitely would have, without question, I would have handled it differently. And it could have ended differently if there was contact made with, if you said there was all that traffic behind you.
Yeah, I slowed down, though, so I didn't allow them in.
What if the people behind you didn't see you slowing down?
Well, if they would have hit me, they would have had to pay, because that's how it works. I've been hit on the rear a couple of times. No diddy. Jerry Jones is in a tiff with 105.3, the Fan. Ultimatum. He says that he owns the station, which isn't technically true, but they are in bed with the Cowboys, so it's kind of true. And a lot of people are, like, going to bat for these hosts, which I understand. Like, I'm on the host side of this, too. It's a very dangerous place to be whenever you are the flagship of a very specific team. But people are like, oh, you know, the hosts are, you know, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And people are saying that, you know, if Jerry Jones did fire him, that there's going to be – everybody's going to be mad at him, all of this stuff. The question that I have is, if Jerry Jones gave 105.3 the Fan an ultimatum, Jerry Jones went up to him and he said, okay, here's the deal. I want those hosts fired, and if you do not fire them, I'm pulling the Cowboys and we're going to your competitor, or we're going to your rival. If Odyssey, and Odyssey is the station that owns, or the company that owns 105.3 The Fan, if Jerry Jones went to Odyssey and said it's the Cowboys or it's the host, who do you think Odyssey would pick?
I think there's no doubt in my mind, taking every right versus wrong out of this equation, I think Odyssey is going to go with the Dallas Cowboys, and they are going to release those two announcers, because the Dallas Cowboys are big money, and professional sports teams are big money. And when you're in that market, and the Cowboys are as big as they are in that market, and with the network, and with all the sponsors, and everything that goes with it, and I don't know all the details of their contract, but I got to believe that that is a pretty, pretty potent deal for the station in terms of finances, and I think that that's the way you go.
I don't think it's going to get to that point. I don't think that Jerry Jones is going to do it. I really don't, and I certainly hope he doesn't, because they don't deserve to be fired. But under this scenario, this ultimatum, Jerry Jones says it's the Cowboys or it's the host. I have zero doubt in my mind that Odyssey would say, I am sorry, Mr. Jones, we will find somebody else. Keep the Dallas Cowboys on our station.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
No doubt.
Because the money talks, and the almighty dollar means a whole hell of a lot. And if you got the Cowboys on your station, look, I think that I'm a little skeptical of how Jerry Jones is going to handle this going forward, because he doubled down when he had a chance to actually apologize or say he was wrong. And then it's going to get real dicey, because from what I was reading on Twitter this morning, at least one of the two hosts decided that they weren't going to back down either, and they were going to just tee off and blast, which is either the station PD and powers that be saying, you do you, go get them,
yeah,
because we're getting a whole lot of run out of this, or you're flirting with your own, and not that they wouldn't find another job, because from what I've heard,
calling Jerry's bluff.
No, it's a fine line. It is a fine line. but I don't think that Jerry would fire them. And the host going back at Jerry is radio gold.
Yep.
It is fantastic.
It is.
It is awesome. It is great drama. It is great intrigue. I'm sure they had a bunch of people that wouldn't ordinarily listen to that station or to them during that time slot that are listening. So this is ratings gold. This is great. And again, I ultimately don't think that Jerry Jones will have them fired. But if given the ultimatum, they would get rid of those hosts
Just like that. And the key is that, again, we don't know what the discussions were behind the scenes, but the fact that they made four segments out of it this morning and that people on Twitter were literally showing how they were pulling over the side of the road or were not going to go into meetings because this was can't-miss radio means that it is radio gold for them regardless.
I think they know they can call Jerry Jones bluff because of the public and media outcry to his reaction and what he said so far. I mean, he certainly is. I mean, as the owner of the Cowboys, if he really wanted to, he could make this happen. But I don't think I don't see his advisors and him ultimately, once he has time to calm down, feeling like it's worth the negative outcry. So they're going to call his bluff and push him, knowing that Jerry's ultimately not going to want to take the backlash for making the move.
As bad as he looks now, he would look 10 times worse if he actually followed through and also fired them. And I don't think he wants that either. But at this point in his life and his career, I could see him doing it anyway.
Not the conversation. I agree with what y'all said.
I told you which way I think.
And if you take the local angle of this, if Cal McNair, and not that Cal McNair would do this, because Cal McNair is an upstanding human being who has great integrity.
Never quit.
Has a great admiration for life and great desire and never taps out, never submits. He is a role model for us all. If the Baytown baddie in the show ticked off Cal McNair, and Cal McNair doesn't really have this personality, but they did. You think Cal McNair could have those guys fired if he really wanted? No doubt.
P&P, absolutely.
100%.
And they have, P&P have a great relationship with the Texans. Like, they would never cross that line, and Cal would never be that upset with them. But if something did happen, would Cal be able to pull that off?
Yeah. No question about
it. Yeah, absolutely he could. The Rockets have had something like this with Ennis back on their flagship with Maury.
I was in the middle of it.
But he didn't ultimately get fired, though, right? They just, like, stopped doing interviews with him?
It was more than one time. It was once with Tad, and it was once with Daryl that spilled into another with Daryl where he went on just to blast Josh.
Yeah.
Daryl was cool enough to say, I'm not trying to get his job. Tad wanted him fired.
But ultimately didn't get fired.
Did not get fired.
But that also wasn't the owner.
It was also the fact that we had several meetings to try and talk to Tad about what Jerry's dealing with. Like, you want to talk about a really, really bad optic right here?
Yeah.
Go ahead and try and follow through on that. Because he wanted his press pass taken away, too. And you just can't do that. That's a James Dolan move.
And if y'all didn't talk him out of it, he probably could have had that happen.
Yeah, no
probably
question could have
had
about that
done. And he wasn't the owner. Like, he wasn't even the owner. Ennis also had the thing with Kubiak. Whenever Kubiak would do the show with him and Rich, he would, like, the coach would actually go on the radio each and every week. Ennis got blackballed from having that segment. Yep. Like, he could no longer be a part of asking Kubiak questions. So if you don't think that Jerry Jones could have those hosts fired, you don't know what you're talking about.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Didn't Klain get suspended for something he tweeted about Dusty Baker?
Well, not only that, but then he had to he said he called James Harden a couple.
Yeah, but different thing. I think he faced
the music for that, too.
Yeah, but I think he got – not arguing with you, but I also think most recently he tweeted something about Dusty and got suspended.
I think that's true.
Like, for a show or a couple of shows.
I mean, not to spill inside information, but Jeremy, do you remember the late night host we had on 610 briefly, Matthew Jarecki?
I do.
He got fired because the Texans were unhappy with what he was saying, and he lost his job.
Not to spill inside information and then wait 5 seconds as I spill inside information.
And give the guy's Jarecki's name.
I don't work for 610. Jarecki's not in the market, so I don't mind spilling it.
I'm cool spilling it. I just the setup was funny. Not to spill it, but here you go.
Yeah, here it is.
Here's the
and
key.
We're not just going to refer to him as the guy that used to be on our airways. Here's his name.
No, I mean, I've been called out on
Matthew Jarecki, but he was good to me. I thought he was a talented host.
I think didn't he read a State of the Union, like, in a really, like, dumb voice and pretend like he was Cal?
Maybe.
I don't know who he is.
But I think Cal did the press conference thing, and he was playing Kip's the press conference. Yes. He called him, like, you know.
Yeah, he went after Cal a few times. He went after the Texans management, and he got pushed out pretty quickly.
I got reprimanded twice talking about the Texans. Whenever they hired Jack Easterby, I was like, they're giving way too much power to a chaplain. They reprimanded me. Don't say that. You don't know. You don't know what's going on. Okay, my bad. And then whenever they cut Deontay Foreman, I got a call in between during the show. Hey, you can't – don't talk about O'Brien cutting Deontay Foreman like that. You can't say that in a – like it was a bad thing.
The irony of me having to be the home team hitman was I had to be the guy that had to call up all the time and say, talk to the talent or the PD to talk to the talent. You can't say that. And then – 2 days later, I had to call them and say, hey, can you do us a solid and take down the podcast of Daryl putting his foot in his mouth and mentioning multiple players that he's going to get fined for? And it was uncomfortable all the time.
Yeah. Jerry Jones could have those guys axed.
Those contracts and the money, you talk about the fact that...
Well, especially here, it's a right to work stake.
But the highway to hell with the suite, with all the tickets, with all the sponsorships, with the fact that it creates outside revenue, they're not good. That's a no-brainer decision.
6'8", yeah. Key from L.A., if y'all had Jerry Jones on this radio station, would y'all have done the same thing? Probably, yeah.
If we had him on as a guest, it's different than if we had him as the flagship, because you're going to get your wrist slapped real quick if it's the flagship.
But even if I was the flagship, I would have done the same thing. Now, to be fair to the host, I don't think they ever crossed the line.
Like, I don't either.
They would get fired if Jerry Jones wanted them fired, but they never crossed the line.
No, they didn't. And I thought they did it as diplomatically as they possibly could, instead of just saying, hey, Jerry... You said this. You haven't done anything like it. You could have gone at him a lot harder than they did. I think he was having a bad day. He knows he's wearing it, and he just took it out on them.
You know the theory that's out there is that he did that kind of cunningly, if that's a word.
It is.
With the idea of taking the distraction of how bad the Cowboys were against the Lions.
Not a bad play.
That would be a sly move.
This is, hey, stop looking over here at the fire and look over here at this new fire that I'm creating, so you're not talking about this fire that actually matters. That's the theory that's out there. 8807, Tunsil almost fired Branham. Yeah, that's a good point. Good times. I couldn't say his name last year for the second half of the season. All right, one more on the truck thing. Robert's been waiting for a long time, and we don't want to keep Robert waiting for a long time. 713-780-ESPN. Robert, you're the final verdict.
From Humble, Brian.
Robert from Humble, you're the final verdict on pulling in or backing in. What's the right thing to do here, Robert?
Backing. It's always backing in, because the simple fact is if my car can't start and I need to get a jump, then I can easily pull another vehicle right in front of it and start it. Now, while I got y'all here, isn't that radio station that took on Jerry, isn't that an affiliate of ESPN?
No, it's Odyssey Station.
Okay, well, then never mind. All bets are off, because if a radio station that was backed by ESPN – said that kind of stuff. I mean, Jerry's not going to take on the mouse.
Yeah. Okay. Appreciate the call, Robert. A little different. Because ESPN is kind of like independently, you know, owned. Whenever you use the name, affiliate stations, they're not really like, we wouldn't have national ESPN support if we got in trouble.
No, but also remember, we had national ESPN coming at Lance.
Sure. But that's not how Robert meant it. Robert meant it that Jerry Jones wouldn't take on the big bad ESPN if they were an ESPN station. That wouldn't help us.
We wouldn't have corporate,
we wouldn't have corporate support.
Yeah,
that's the way Robert meant. But that was a great point by Robert. You know, if you need your battery charged,
if both people pull in, you're across from someone who can help you jump.
Yeah, if you need your – well, that's one in a million.
It's the same as flagging someone down to come –
It's not the same, because you only have one option in your scenario. Where in my scenario, I have any option that I see moving. You have to go find the person. They have to be in the building. You have to have this exhaustive search on finding that one particular car, versus anybody could potentially be an option.
He does have a point there, because otherwise, to have someone jump you and you pulled in, then you have to have someone pull up on either side of you, as opposed to just driving right up to the front of the grill of the car.
Boom, roasted.
There's two spots on either side of you. You can have someone jump you.
What if there's cars in both spots?
Brian, can you grab this football with the reaching that you're doing? Tom Brady, he got approved for 10% stake in the Raiders. What does this mean for his Fox job? Should Fox be upset? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, Tom Brady, he got approved for his 10% stake in Rod. What is this music? What is that?
You were all over his tunes today.
I didn't expect. What instrument's he playing right there?
There's lots. Drums is the main one.
It caught me off guard. I'm trying to, like, you know, tease the segment here and get into the segment. And I was like, what is that instrument? That got me feeling a little good.
It's kind of like.
Oh, so you like it. Okay.
Yeah, it's a little upbeat. It's not as emo as the other stuff.
Very old school, like.
You missed out.
He went from emo to this. This is
like Sly and the Family Stone-ish.
It's Beastie Boys.
This is the he went from emo to Beastie Boys. He's playing the whole spectrum today.
I just went down my playlist and pulled a bunch of songs. What can I say?
I like it that we're mixing up the bumper music.
Yeah, coming off guard. All right, Tom Brady got approved for 10% stake in the Raiders. What do you think Fox is thinking here, Blinkers?
This is crazy. And the more I was reading about this, the more this is a bigger deal. And if I'm Fox, I want a refund. I want my money back. I want this contract done with Tom Brady. Because he got 10%, this goes back to like when Magic Johnson had stake in the Lakers and then wanted to coach or even do broadcasting. Because of the fact that he has ownership, he is now banned from attending any other team practices, cannot be in any of the team's facilities, cannot be part of any broadcast production meetings or interviews in person or remotely, can't do them at all, and he cannot criticize teams or referees. So then what am I paying $375 million for 10 years for if I'm Fox? Because to me, it also opens the door for me to get the best analyst that I think was out there in Greg Olson back to my A-team, and I can get out from under this $375 million deal for Tom Brady. I didn't think he was that good to start with. Maybe he'll get better, and he does know the game. But the fact that he's taking all of this away so that he doesn't have the ability – this is a dream for Tony Romo. Because this is the deal Tony Romo wants, because he doesn't want to go to the practices, and he doesn't want to go and interview the players. This is the things that you're supposed to do when you're doing the TV. And now, as part of the game on TV, yeah, you better be talking about the X's and O's, because you can't say that was a bad call. You can't say anything about the referees. You can't talk about other teams, especially as it relates to players. What are you paying for?
Okay, I slightly disagree here. I will start off by saying I don't believe in paying. I shouldn't say this because I am a broadcaster. I don't believe that you should pay broadcasters heavy money. There's 32 teams in the NFL. You start looking at Fox, CBS, NBC, Amazon. You could pay the 17th best play-by-play guy and the 17th best color guy $1 million a year, and that game's going to pull the same ratings as the A-team. So I'm not a big believer in spending big money for broadcasters. I think that they're just giving away money for free, quite frankly. You can find really good play-by-play guys, and all the play-by-play guys would do it for $1 million a year. Yeah, you get your Nances of the world that are making 40 or whatever, but what's the point? And I love Nance. Go Cougs. No one's tuning into the NFL games to listen to the broadcasters. Now, if they're really, really bad, they might, you know, not tune in. They might go away. But you could find the 20th best play-by-play guy and the 20th best color guy that would be really good, that would do a good job, that's not turning viewers off and still pulling the same rating. So I don't believe it is sound business strategy to pay broadcasters tons of money. I want to preface it with that. Now, do I think Tom Brady's going to be a lesser broadcaster because he's not in production? And it said that he couldn't be there in person and he couldn't zoom in.
Right.
He could have the phone there. He could easily be on the phone. The way that I read it, he could be on the phone.
I think it says remotely. So I think
it said Zoom.
The one I saw, the verbiage
is remotely
was,
phone, though?
You can't, yeah, because if you're somewhere else and you dial in.
I think that he could be on the phone.
I don't believe he can.
I'll concede that point. Whatever. He can't even be on the phone. Hey, producer, ask these questions for me. Hey, director, these are the questions I want to know. The director's doing most of that work anyways. Like, the director's the one that's building out the graphic, or at least the production team. They're the ones that are building out the graphics. They're the ones that are really leading the show. And then you have the Bradys and, you know, the color commentators and the play-by-play guys that are also involved in that. And they're reading it, and they're like, okay, they know about it after the meeting. This is the stuff we're going to go through the show. This is the run of show. These are our talking points. But the color guy does not need to be there in terms of the broadcast suffering. The fact that Brady not being at production meetings, regardless of the medium of communication, is not going to force the broadcast to suffer at all. Brady's going to be the same color guy, even though he's not at the production meetings. The critical of the officials, like, I think you can still say that a call was not properly made. Now, you're not going to dive in and be like, oh, these guys are awful and these guys are brutal. Was Brady going to do that anyways? The criticizing teams, I think it's a very gray area. I don't think the NFL wants him to look at a specific player and, like, just absolutely rip them. I don't think that we're going to notice a difference with Tom Brady as the color commentator pre-ownership and post-ownership. I think he's going to sound the exact same.
I disagree in terms of the color analyst going to and be not just the interviews, but the practices and being involved to where you have those intimate conversations that aren't suitable for air, that you find out intel that you can then translate to the broadcast about the game plan for that week or injuries or, you know, different things with different players and the intel that goes with a week to week with every team in the league. And so I think that there is plenty to be gained there. And a guy that carries his clout, a lot of guys are going to open up a lot more to a guy like that. So missing all of that, yes, he can ask those questions. And then the other question is, can he give the answers? Can he talk about what they found out for him, because he's talking about teams and he's talking about players?
Yeah, I think he'll be able to. I don't think that you're going to notice a difference with Tom Brady. I really don't. I think that what we've heard from Tom Brady as a color commentator will not change.
I think it's because he's not as good as people thought he was going
to
be.
I did too. I think that he's getting much better. I didn't mind listening to him.
I think Greg Olsen is definitely...
No, Greg Olsen was great, but I thought Brady's improved quite a bit over the first few weeks.
I liked listening to Brady. Now, would I tune into a game only because Tom Brady's calling it? No, but I also wouldn't do that for Greg Olsen. I also wouldn't do it to Jim Nantz. He's my best friend. We talk all the time.
And honestly, to me, I mean, I wouldn't pay Tom Brady or any broadcaster $300 million for because I agree with Jeremy's point. But as far as what he brings to the table, I'm not tuning into Tom Brady. I'm not paying Tom Brady because of the conversation he had with the team's OCs. I'm paying him and having him on the broadcast because his mind as an NFL Hall of Famer, greatest quarterback of all time, is in reacting to what he's seeing on the field and telling us, you know, what play is going to happen, what he thinks of the scheme, blah, blah, blah. It's not really the conversation he had in a conference room with the players
and
the
coaches.
But
he's going to get so much out of the guys he's talking to.
We really don't know that. It's certainly possible. It's certainly possible, and I agree with a lot of the points you make are good points, and you're right. Like, players would be more open to talking to Tom Brady than Kevin Burkhardt. Like, yes, right. Sure. Or some random 100%. Director, you know, that looks like Brian. No offense, he's probably very good looking. Like, yeah, you're right about that. But we don't know that Brady's actually doing that. We don't know if Brady is approaching these players or these coaches and being like, hey, you know, give me the good stuff. We don't know. It could be. It could be. We just have no idea.
Right, because a lot of guys are really involved in it, in that practice and after practice.
Like Romo, you said. Romo probably doesn't want to do that.
Yeah, they said early on he was all about it, and now he doesn't even want to show up until right before the night before the game, doesn't want to go to any practices or meetings or anything. And because he got so much credit for all the ways that he was reading plays, that people thought he was better than most. I will ask you guys then, because of the fact that, because I agree with you, there's plenty of good play-by-play guys out there and guys that can call games. But we just got done talking about Al Michaels and Bob Costas.
Yeah.
It's also going to be noticeable if they're bad.
Sure.
And so there's a fine line between, yes, you can pay a couple guys $1 million each.
Right.
But they still have to be at a certain level, because otherwise it is going to be noticeable for people.
No, they have to be competent. They can't be bad to where you're turning them off. I'm not turning off Al Michaels. I'm watching Amazon. I'm watching Al Michaels. I don't think that Al Michaels is very good. I don't think Al Michaels is a top 100 play-by-play guy in the world right now. At this stage, he used to be number one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not turning him off because it's the NFL, which proves the point of you're not watching NFL games for the broadcasters. Yes, they can be incompetent and poor to where you're like, I can't listen to this, and flipping it off. Like, I did do that with Bob Costas.
I was going
to
say,
now, it's not NFL.
Of the two, yeah, I'll turn off Costas. I don't mind listening to Michaels because he can let Herb Street talk.
Part of that, too, is the sport. Like, if Costas was calling the NFL, would I turn off? Probably not. Because NFL is more national. I have more interest in national NFL than I do in Yankee Royal baseball, quite frankly.
Also,
so I have no problem turning that off. And then your point about the you did this with Rockets for years. You were at shoot-arounds, and you know I do that with U of H. Mm-hmm. There are certain play-by-play guys that are there for shoot-around, whether it's the day before, whether it's that morning. Same thing with some color guys. There's some that don't. And are the ones that are going to shoot-around better than the ones that don't? I don't think so. I think it's just
more about the information you give, right?
It can be, yeah.
Yeah, especially with play-by-play. Like, for color, when, you know, you had coaches that didn't want you any part of it. Just do your best, and I'm not going to get mad at you no matter what you say because I don't want you in my practice. Jeff Van Gundy. Or Kevin McHale that would say, I want you there every day because if you're going to be talking, I want you to talk from a position of knowledge, knowing that this is what we're trying to do defensively. This is what we're trying to do against this player.
It's a little different when it's you, though, versus the national guy that's coming in for
sure.
A one-off.
Because you don't trust them as much as you do like your team personnel, too.
Yes. You're not really telling, you know, the local guy's telling the story of the team where the national guy is really not.
But I think that to your point on like turning, would you turn it off? You have to have an alternative. So if you've got an alternative on the radio or another broadcast, then it's easier to say, I'm not listening to that. I'd rather listen to my home guys.
Or it's Bravo. Instead of watching Bob Costas, you're turning on Real Housewives.
But then you're not watching the game.
Right.
Right.
Right. But the alternative can be 100 different things.
But I'm saying if I'm turning up the volume, I'm still watching the game, I got to have another way to listen to the I want to hear somebody calling the game.
But if you're muting the TV, the television station's not losing the viewer.
No.
They're not losing the viewer. That's so. Again, why are you paying?
Yeah, I'm just saying from my own. Dollar? I'm saying from my own personal preference. If I'm going to turn off a Bob Costas, then I want to turn on the ESPN radio feed or something to where I can hear Shambi or somebody else calling the same game.
0721 Collingsworth is not good, but check Sunday Night Football ratings. I think Collingsworth's all right. He's not my favorite.
He takes a lot of strays.
But they all do.
Yeah.
They all take a lot of strays. Every single one of them. Why? Because everybody's watching the NFL and it's fun to mock and ridicule.
Yeah, I think that some guys deserved it more than others. I think like when you talk about like Phil Simms or guys in the studio that get kind of really just crotchety for the sake of being crotchety, as opposed to Collingsworth played the game. He does like to study the game. I think he's very knowledgeable at the game, and he takes a lot. Sometimes I think it's a lot unfair.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think Collingsworth's better than like the public perception.
Mm-hmm.
6357, Gary Danielson and Brent Musburger were the worst to listen to when Bama would play. I don't think he means. I think he means Nestler. I think he means Brad Nestler. Maybe he doesn't. Brent, maybe he's going old school, because
remember Brent was doing the game with him when he liked AJ McCarron's then girlfriend.
That's just a long time ago.
It is.
Like Nestler's been with Danielson for probably 10 years.
Maybe still doing games. Right? They called one of the games last weekend.
They're doing the top Big Ten game.
Yeah. Ever since Fern retired, whenever that was.
Honestly, I think Nestler's
more than a couple years.
I think Nestler's entering Costas Michaels territory. I didn't like the listen the other day.
No, he's getting real opinionated outside of games and stuff too, which I don't think they're very fond of.
Oh, really?
If you get him on the radio and he just starts spewing bullets on the NCAA and stuff, and they're like, "Oh, hey,
yeah,
easy."
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think Nestler's lost his fastball. He's had a hell of a run. He and there's another guy that looks just like him too that has done the games forever, like Nestler.
Looks like Nestler.
Yeah, and sounds like him too.
Hmm.
Tim Brando.
Oh, Brando's on Fox. Brando's a very nice man.
Yeah, he is. Nestler and Brando both have been on top of their game for a long, long time.
I don't think they look like each other. I think they might sound like each other, but
they both had the comb over.
I don't think so.
Well, it's kind of gone now.
Yeah, Brando's like, you know.
Yeah, Ness has kind of lost his.
Like going bald, I think. Costas and Verducci absolutely cringe every time. Costas is super cringe. Verducci's pretty cringe, too. Verducci takes those long, dramatic pauses, and it's like, what you're saying?
You time it with a calendar.
Not that interesting. Like, what are you doing here, Verducci?
You got a manager in-game. He wants to do it as quick as possible, and you're like, Dave Roberts, last inning when you had a runner on, and Dave Roberts is like, let's go. I got to get out of here.
Can we go a little bit faster, man? Let's watch Brady, though. I will be intrigued to see if we can pick up a noticeable difference of how he sounds post-ownership versus pre-ownership. But I wouldn't pay anybody this much money to call a game.
He's 713. Rolling in money, though.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
NFL money is coming in at 10%, and the TV money is massive.
Yeah, I'd much rather have 10% ownership stake than do work in NFL
games.
You don't
have to do a darn thing, and you're going to be printing money every year.
Yeah, I mean, it's what happens when you're the greatest football resume of all time.
True.
What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Car wreck of the day, which Brian has a higher percentage of getting in a car wreck each and every day. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word from mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag, place you want to be if you want to put some money down on the Dodgers and Mets tonight and you think you got a hot streak going or you feel something a certain way about a game, go to mybookie.ag. They got all the college games, the pro games, with basketball on the horizon as well with college and pro. You've got golf, UFC, and so much more. If there's a sport on TV and you want to bet on it, chances are you can bet on it at mybookie.ag. Right now, they got a sign-up bonus going on yet again to double your next deposit. Double your deposit when you sign up, and up to $1,000, they will match what you put in. That means almost immediately. When you put money in, they'll put money on top of it. More money in your account, more games you can bet on, and more chances you can win. They're constantly looking for ways that they can improve their site, their app, and the ways that they interact with you. So therefore, it's more interactive. And they've got in-game chats. They've got all the games that you can monitor. They've got so many different ways, including a new tiered system of rewards when you continue to use MyBookie.ag. It's called MyBookie Plus. You get involved in the program. You use it on a consistent basis. You're going to climb those tiers and get more rewards and more offers and get more benefits because you're loyal to them. They have been in business for over a decade. They want you to be their new business that stays with them just as long. Check them out today. today. Go to mybookie.ag and always use our promo code BET975 because that's what unlocks the deals. You go in, you sign up, you put money in your account. They ask you for a code. You put in BET975. Boom, just like that, more money right there for you to play with. It is fantastic. They are great. They're going to take care of you. That's why I always tell you, bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it, mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Give me your bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Alex, car wreck of the day. Definitely BMAC parking theories. 0754, did La Salsa get the car wreck of the day Monday? I think we forgot. Retroactively, he can win Monday.
Yeah, we did.
1970, car wreck of the day. BMAC, no question. 4965, car wreck of the day, not being able to back in. That was Josh Masiwa, my bad. What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Blankers, what you got?
Well, you got a Yankees win last night, and we all hate that. But on top of that, John Sterling's back doing radio calls of Yankees games. And for whatever reason, he ain't holding back. And if the Yankees are bad, he's going to tell you about it.
The 0-2, a bouncer, and Rizzo is going to be picked off. He's in the middle between second and third. Hedges now throws to second, on the way to third, back to second, back to third, tagged out, end of inning. Boy, if that wasn't the Yankees, that's what they do, run the bases like drunks.
Like drunks.
Well, Glaber will lead off the next inning.
That's the best part. That's the best part, the very end.
Smoothest transition.
And Glaber will lead off the next inning. That's a professional. I want to get to that point where I can just blast there. I kind of do. The Yankees win. I want to nominate Lieutenant Dan. Lieutenant Dan of Hurricane Milton fame. Lives on that boat. Stayed during Hurricane Milton. Well, stories are coming out today that he tried to light a woman on fire in 2023. Nice. Allegedly, as the great Jim Rome would say. So, this forever a lesson, kids.
Kind of like Kai, remember Kai the Hatchet guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an old Netflix documentary about him.
I feel bad that I beat up on you a little bit too much today. But yeah, another example, kids, of do not meet your heroes. Don't meet the leg and the peg. Do not meet Lieutenant Dan. Do not meet your heroes. Brian, what you got?
All the people who insist to backing into parking spots because they can't drive.
What's winning?
Probably Brian. Brian got all the votes from the listeners.
Fine. I'll take the slings and arrows. I'm on the right side of history. Go for it.
If you want it, then
congratulations.
You got it.
It's your only win today. So Brian is the victor. Thanks to Brian for the hard work. The take's not so great. He's Blank. I'm Brian. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Mike Elko coming up at 7:30, 8:30. Hall of Fame, 9 to 10. Good night, everybody.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.